this morning we are doubly blessed to have two readings for both the witness of ancient wisdom and modern wisdom. First reading comes from 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And from Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, whatever task you must do, work as if your soul depends on it, as for the Lord, not for humans, since you know that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You serve the Lord Christ. First witness of modern wisdom comes from the Reverend Dr. William Barber III. We cannot be at ease in America. History is pushing us. The present is demanding us. The future is calling us. And from the poet Mary Oliver, tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? God is still speaking,
and we are still listening. Thanks be to God.
Friends, this morning I'm coming down here to the floor to be with you all, because here in the United Church of Christ, we believe in a theology of the priesthood of all believers, which means that each of us has a calling, each of us has a ministry, and each of us is a part of God's work in the world. We are all ministers in our own right. And here's the truth. We won't change the world by going to church. We will only change the world by being the church. By engaging, by showing up in our workplaces, our neighborhoods, our families, our communities with the love, compassion, and courage of Christ. In times like these, when we can become prone to hopelessness, engagement itself becomes an act of resistance. Resistance against apathy and despair and the lie that our voice and our actions don't matter. When we engage, we resist. When we share our gifts, we resist. When we listen deeply to one another, we resist. So now we come to a time of sharing, a time to speak out of the priesthood that is alive in each of us, a time to testify to where you see God at work, and to show how you are engaging in your life, and to encourage one another to keep being the church in the world. So I invite you in this time of sharing. I grew up in a kind of a Pentecostal church, and we had time for testimony. So this may not be so comfortable for the Congregationalists among us, but there's something really beautiful when we share our stories from the heart. So I invite you to think of a group or a gathering or an engagement opportunity that has made a difference for good in your life. And it can be in the life and practice of our church, or it could be in our community. But think, where have you found that connection, that joy or healing or purpose? And if you'd like to share how others might join with you in that work of community. I'm going to bring the mic around, and I'm going to try to avoid the feedback we just heard. But I invite you to raise a hand. I'll bring the mic to you, and with 1 or 2 minutes, just to share that sort of testimony and invitation so that others might join together. Yes.
My name is Lynn. and I'm going to talk about the Reflectors Group. A couple of years ago, I was talking to Pastor Adam about being in the darkness of grief and thinking that I would never feel anything besides grief. Pastor Adam mentioned the Reflectors Group. He told me they were a welcoming and supportive group that I might find helpful in my journey. I showed up at Reflectors as I was. The first couple of months that I attended Reflectors, I remember being welcomed and supportive, even though I was in a total fog. That I do remember. I was embraced by love and caring. I am grateful to the Reflectors group for listening and supporting me through my darkest time. Reflectors is a safe space to share about whatever is going on in our lives, our feelings, our concerns, our challenges, our joys, and our grief. No matter how big or how small, we listen respectfully to what is going on in each other's lives, and we care about what is going on in each other's lives. Sometimes we cry together, but really, I think that more often we laugh together. In Reflectors, everyone is given an opportunity to share, although sharing is not necessary. Everything said in Reflectors stays in Reflectors. Each meeting ends with prayer. Reflectors meet at 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights in the chapel. There are no requirements to join Reflectors. We come as we are, fully human and fully accepting of each other to reflect on life.
Hi, my name is Amy, and right after 9/11, I got a job where I was required to travel about 75% of the time, and I was terrified. So I remember I would sit in the plane and just think, is this the day I'm going to die? So at that time, and still, I read a lot and take a lot of teaching from the writings of Dr. Ernest Holmes. And one of the things he said at one time was he would stand at the front of his presentations and see just light of every single person was a being of God. And so after that, in the plane, I started watching people coming down the aisle, and I just saw God in them. So I still do that to this day, and it takes the fear of flying from me because I still have to travel for my work. But I try to do that in every situation, and just know that that person who's maybe racist or misogynistic or whatever is still a child of God, and see the light in that person as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just pass it.
Just pass it.
Yeah, I can pass it around too. I've been part of the choir now for quite a few years, and in my upbringing, I sang in church choirs and school choirs for a long time. But it had been several years since I had sung when I came to this group, and interestingly that. My start in the choir started with right around the time that I got divorced, and that was probably one of the largest traumas of my life. And I remember Pastor Adam said, asked me at the time, he's like, what do you need right now to help you raise your daughters, and what is it that would be spiritually giving for you? And I said, I am worried that I'm not going to teach my daughters how to pray because I've been married to an atheist for 14 years. And I said, but I've started to sing to them at bedtime. I sing to them. And he said, well, it's okay, Emily, if all you ever do is sing to them, because when you sing, you pray twice. And that sort of stuck with me. And when I come here on Wednesday night and I sing with this group, it very much is prayer to me. It's part of a ministry for myself, for my children. And I would say that this group has been very healing for me. It has improved my mental health and given me a lot of hope in the world. And so, and by the way, I don't consider myself a musician. If you all are interested in singing, I know up from down, but I have to this day a hard time sight reading things. I depend very much on the people around me here. This is a collaborative effort up here. So, you know, I would encourage any of you who want to give it a try, come join us.
I work at a nurse in the operating room, many of you know that, and something that I feel like I can contribute, nursing has always, for me, been part of my worship of God. I feel like it's a gift that I've been given to care for other people, and I return that gift to God by doing so. But our hospital just 2 years ago started providing gender-affirming surgeries for people to bring that service to a wider number of people, because the wait list is just so long. And I feel like that's a way I can support that community by giving them the care that they need. And let me tell you, these patients are the most sweetest, most grateful patients of anyone I have ever treated in 25 years. So that is my way of contributing.
Thank you.
So I'm also going to talk about choir. She's right. If you have... Oh, okay. Is that right? If you have any interest in joining choir, come join us. I came in having been told my adult life that I could not sing. But I like to sing. And so I talked to Nina, and she said, well, come, which I think she says to everybody, but it has been... it's been a blessing to me, I've got to say. I like music a lot. And the chance to actually produce music and share with the congregation just uplifts me. And it has been a really good experience. So once again, come join us.
I'm going to stand up because I'm short. This church embraced me from the minute I walked in some 46 years ago. We had become members, and immediately were greeted by our own Becky Luther, who was directing the choir at the time, and said, come on, we need you in the choir. We heard you sing. I came from a singing, marching, playing, and then teaching background of music. One thing that stands out with me in this church, and I've done small children's choir, but now I've been doing through the last year and a half or so, hand chimes with the kids. And this summer at Creative Camp, I did a class, three classes a day for 5 days, of kids, that little ones that could barely lift up the chime and see they're over the table, to large ones at all age groups. One day we were playing, and the kids were always just playing when they shouldn't have been playing, like kids do. And two little girls were playing along, and they each hit a note that happened to be a third apart. And everybody just sort of stopped in the room. And I go, hey, what was that? And they looked at me and they said, that was harmony. Oh my gosh, it just, my heart said, I did something this week. So anyway, music is, the friendship, fellowship of this church is just so meaningful in my life and all stages that I've gone through in my life. But the music, as you can see, I wear many hats, and it always has some instrument, voice, bell, chime attached to it.
I'm not going to talk about choir. Back when Ned and I were at this church and he was minister, I attended the first National Youth Conference at Carleton College back in, can't remember where it is now. That was at the time they announced the reinstatement of the draft. And as you can imagine, these teenagers from all over the country were faced with a real moral dilemma. And we sat and we sang and we did things. And when I came back, when I preached the report on that trip, I said, we teach our children that it is wrong to kill. And then we ask them to go and kill. I said, you cannot discount the moral dilemma of these teenage young people. I felt it was necessary to say, we lost a fairly prominent couple of a church that day that walked out and said, we don't have to listen to this. We're not always going to agree on things, but there are times when things need to be said.
We joined this church in 2009, and when I retired in 2015, I knew that my financial situation was going to change, and so because of that, I decided that volunteering was what I wanted to do. If I couldn't give dollars, I would give time. So I do several things here at church. I think some of you have seen me up and about. But one of the ones that I want to share with you today that we got to be a part of was a fellowship committee. Fellowship committee is a group of people who provide coffee. We get volunteers for that. We get volunteers to help with memorial services. We get volunteers to help with special receptions or special things that are happening here at the church. We laugh a lot. We really do. In fact, we had a meeting not too long ago, and Heather came down and told us that we were being too loud because we were laughing so much. But it is a really good group. It meets the first Monday of each month at 9:30. Myrna Locke is the chair, and she serves as a wonderful chair. And I would encourage anyone who is interested in joining us for that. Also, if you would like to do a one-off, which is to help with a memorial service or help with a reception or to do coffee on Sunday mornings, we would love to have you join us for that. Thank you.
As a pastor who loves coffee, I just want to say thank you.
Hi, I'm Leslie Wagner, and probably it won't surprise you that I'm going to talk a little bit about the Bell Choir. Folks in choir have talked about the joy of making music together in that group, and I have been in that choir. That is definitely a joy. If you have ever participated in a musical ensemble, you understand that connection that happens through the making music together. And that's just multiplied in Bell Choir because each person only has a couple of bells and we are completely dependent on each other to make the music together. So it's a really special way of participating in music. So if you have been a musician, it's something different if you've never played bells, and it's a different experience. If you haven't been a musician, the wonderful thing is that since you've only got a couple of notes, you don't have to read music all that well. You can learn how to play your bells, and it's a wonderful way to join in our music ministry and to experience a real spiritual connection with people. So I invite you. I will actually be at a table in the fellowship hall during coffee hour. Come and try ringing a bell. See if it's something that you might like to do.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. We're gonna just take one or two more. I saw one over there.
Hi, I just wanted to invite all the ladies of the church to come to Renegade Soul Sisters. We are exactly what the word means, renegades. And we meet the third Thursday of every month at 1:30 in Fellowship Hall. All ladies are welcome. Bring a friend. We have cookies and coffee and lots of conversation.
Thank you. We'll go real quick.
I just wanted to let everybody know, I saw the flag outside that said Black Lives Matter and LGBTQ, and I said, oh, wow, a church that accepts people as Christians should be doing, and here I am. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Go, Mary, and then Lennox.
Bible study is fun. Why are you laughing? We laugh a lot in Bible study. We find things in the Bible that we don't particularly care for, and we don't hesitate to make our opinions known. Some of us may occasionally make a smart remark. But we do get serious. We study the Bible, and under Pastor Adam's guidance, we find the wisdom and the guidance that the Bible offers us. There's no registration required, no length of time you have to sign up for. Just come Thursday mornings at 10:30 in Classroom 4.
Thank you.
Okay.
Because I'm doing a 3-in-1, I'm sorry, and I'll be quick. For me, it's the people here in the community and the wider community, and having the advantage of serving on several boards, mission and outreach, being able to reach out to the community and serve them and meet wonderful people who work in the community with services. And then the worship team, which it's an honor to prepare communion for all of you and us, and also work with the services. And then the youth. I love teaching Sunday school. It's a joy to know the children, grow with them, and it's lovely.
Thank you, Chris. All right. And Lennox, you get the last word.
Well, I obviously very involved with the music. You can come find me at the table. But what I want to talk about is pub theology, which actually not so dissimilar from Bible study, sounds like. We do laugh a lot. We talk about subjects, I would say, on the edges, on the borders. We're pushing. I like that this group is it's very accessible for me. It meets in downtown Hillsboro. It is not gender specific, which I appreciate. We do have study guides, so we are learning. I would say I always learn something about the proper Bible type information, but also other people's perspectives on it. So it's a group that I really enjoy. It's on the third Thursday of the month. And yeah, I just want to talk about that. Oh, and also the prayer shawl ministry, which I really enjoy, and is the first fellowship of the month each month. But both of those are very, I would say, low barrier to entry and a great way to make friends.
Thank you. I'll say, I knew this was going to be hard to stop. There's a lot to share, many, many different ways to be engaged. And I know many of you are engaged in not just the activities and gatherings of our church, but in our community. Let's be honest, some of you are probably more engaged than you can afford to be. With your local school, with volunteering for a nonprofit you care about, joining alongside advocacy groups, and showing up at committees and groups here in our church. Some of you are so engaged, it's as if you might believe, or we might believe, that busyness is next to godliness. If that's you, I have a special exercise. So this is a dance card I imagined. My dance card has, for instance, Covenant Choir on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, nursery attendant Sunday mornings once a month, home plate volunteer once a quarter, prayer tree Mondays,
the green team, whenever we can get together, pageant assistant, December 21st, 9:30 to 12, the meal train, mowing, AV team, memorial host, all of these wonderful ways that people can get engaged. And I'll note that on a dance card, there are limited lines to fill in, right? We all have limits to our lives. We can't do all things equally well. So we have to make choices sometimes. So I'll say if you're one of those folks who your dance card is already full, you might consider the theme of rest as resistance. But if you have some room on your dance card and you are inspired by one of these opportunities, we're doing things a little different this year. We're not, we don't have the same board structure we had in the past. We're not having a nominating team call you to recruit you for different things. So it's really an invitation to you to listen for the Spirit to move you and how you might engage this year within our community and outside. And I hope you'll invite others to join you in whatever you're doing that feeds your soul and feels meaningful at this time. So I'll close by saying, as Pope Francis once told a group of youth, the world isn't going to change by sitting on the couch. Church, it's time to rise up, to step in, and engage. I invite us now to rise once more as we join in singing our responsive song, Guide My Feet, number 497.